East of the gold boom towns in the Amazon region of Ecuador is another source of underground wealth, large deposits of petroleum. In the 1970s, when the deposits were first discovered, Ecuador's leaders turned to Texaco to build an oil industry in the jungle and help pull the country out of poverty. Now, oil provides for more than half of the country's national budget and foreign debt payments. But the ecological costs for Ecuador have been huge, and now many Ecuadorians are beginning to question whether the benefits of the industry have been worth the price. Producer Sandy Tolan and Nancy Postero bring us the first of two reports.
3 miles off Ecuador's Pacific coast, black and yellow hoses rise from the sea and run up the hull of a ship as big as a city block. Oil flows from a huge underwater pipeline up through the hoses and into a 400,000-barrel tanker bound for the U.S. This has been modern Ecuador's dream, an oil industry that's raised the country's standard of living, its literacy and nutrition rates, built high-rises, and helped Ecuador shed its image of a poor country that exports nothing but bananas. The dream began at the other end of the 300-mile pipeline, across the Andes in Ecuador's remote Amazon rainforest. This is where, 25 years ago, Texaco began prospecting across 5 million acres of forest. Helicopter airlifts brought a massive infrastructure to the Amazon, exploration wells, a great metal spiderweb of pipelines, and hundreds of miles of roads. It was all part of a master plan. The wells would bring dollars to the country, and new frontiers would be opened for tens of thousands of poor settlers who came down the oil roads, slashing the forest in their path, searching for a new life.
This is where the crude oil comes out. The oil company workers came with their tankers and dumped it here. Every time they come, we beg them not to dump anymore because it affects our water.
Flor Martinez came here with her family to homestead a small patch of jungle in the center of Amazon oil country. They cut the forest, building a house, planting corn, manioc, and coffee at the edge of a clear jungle river. Now, standing a few feet from an oil pump, Flor looks down at a still eddy in the stream. Everything is black, bushes, tree trunks, and the dead fish floating atop the pool thick as tar. The family's coffee and corn stalks are stunted and stained black. Since the government oil company started dumping waste oil here 2 years ago, the Martinez's cows have had 7 miscarriages.
What you see is horrible, just horrible. It's ugly. It makes you sad to see this. And we have to drink from this water. It's the only water we have. When we bathe in it, it gives us bumps and makes us itch, especially the children. We wish we could leave, but we sold our land there to come here. And who would buy this land?
A generation after the oil industry began, the dreams have gone sour for thousands of people in the Ecuadorian Amazon, homesteaders like the Martinezes, as well as the original Indian inhabitants of the region. Scores of rivers have been poisoned. One spill flooded the subsistence crops of more than 500 colonist families. A series of spills devastated an internationally renowned wildlife reserve, also home to several Indian tribes. In all, 1.5 billion gallons of oil have been extracted, and more than 10 million spilled. Millions more in toxic wastes have been pumped directly into the rivers.
We've developed these fields in a hurry.
Luis Roman is president of Petro Ecuador, the state-run oil company.
Because oil prices were going down, and exports were declining, and we needed to repay even foreign debt. And I have to be very honest with you, we had even money from the World Bank to develop these fields in a hurry. We probably were not very careful with environmental problems.
The Ecuadorian government blames the ecological disaster in the Amazon on lax industry standards that were a hallmark of much of the oil development in Latin America in the 1970s. Some officials blame Texaco. Texaco officials insist they operated responsibly within Ecuadorian law and proper environmental standards. Now, control of the industry has shifted to Petroecuador, which is subcontracting much of the exploration to foreign oil companies. Company President Roman says the country has learned from its legacy of contamination.
I think we ought to be very honest and say, yes, we've done things very bad. And what we're trying to do now is to correct whatever damages we've done in the past. From now on, we're not going to make those same mistakes.
Ecuador, under pressure from international environmentalists, has implemented strict new laws that promise harsh penalties for polluters. There's a new ministry to oversee the oil industry. But the new environmental ministry has no budget for enforcement or investigation. It must rely on a voluntary gentleman's agreement with foreign oil companies who promise not to pollute. And government critics say Petroecuador is responsible for many of the spills that are still going on.
I see an attitude of hypocrisy.
Fernando Santos is former minister of Ecuador's Department of Energy and Mines.
If Texaco is guilty of causing harm to the environment, Petroecuador is 10 times worse. For the new companies, they have been very strict, demanding guarantees that the environment will be protected. I can assure you that Petroecuador will laugh at these rules. They operate under no rule of environmental protection.
Some environmentalists in Ecuador do not believe the government is learning from its mistakes and question whether oil development can ever be done responsibly in a rainforest. 15 years from now, they say, when all the oil is gone, Ecuador's dream may give way to a nightmarish vision, a graveyard of rusted pipes and poisoned waters, and no new industry to bring in foreign dollars. Esperanza Martinez of the group Ecological Action is joined by international environmental groups in demanding a 10-year moratorium on oil development in Ecuador.
People thought oil will allow us to live like the rich countries. But now, after all the terrible oil spills, many people are asking, to what extent has oil made things better? Because for petroleum, we have sacrificed the most beautiful thing we had. Nature.
Por el petróleo se sacrificó lo más hermoso que teníamos, ¿no? Que era nuestra naturaleza.
Yet Ecuador's leaders believe they have little choice but to keep bringing oil out of the jungle. Ecuador finds itself increasingly wedged between foreign creditors who want dollars, environmentalists who want to save the rainforest, and consumers who want oil. Manuel Navarro is head of Petroecuador's environmental division.
All of a sudden, we have pressure from organizations from Europe, from the States, claiming that Amazonian jungle has to be untouched. The same way they're demanding the pay of the debt, they're still getting cheap export goods. I think it's a little unfair, the pressure we have from different sides. You just say, don't use this, don't touch this, but do we have an alternative?
With Nancy Pastero, this is Sandy Tolan reporting.